engage on the presentation. Honorable Sain, you're requested to be the first one because you have to leave. Can I know the other members? Honorable Yonglu, Honorable Ramukwasi, and Honorable Masakwa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies for being rude, for asking questions and not be able to listen here, but in my other life, Chair, I'm also a mother, so I need to do some of my normal duties outside of Parliament. Chairperson, I want to thank the DG for making these presentations. I think it's clarifying a whole lot of muddle out there. And on clarifying, I want to start, I did attend with you, Chairperson, the meeting by Department of Rural Development and Land Reform on Friday when they had this land summit, where I think a lot of this presentation or some of the presentations was also made. My concern, and I was just thinking around here, is how far is the plans with the public sector? The deadline of 1 April is now, in 2 weeks' time. Are we not going to sit again, and it brings me back to the presentation of the FCC, what are they called, the fiscal people, which says a lot of the budget could not be spent, and we also saw budget cuts because of preparation and planning. My question is, how ready are we? I heard the DG talking about meetings that's going to happen in less than 4 years, a week, the date. But all of this needs to go down. So whether there is already buy-in from provinces and this needs to take place, whatever is going to take place in municipalities. So the linkages between provinces and municipalities, and we all know, Chairperson, that the wheels of government turns very slowly. So the question is about readiness. Are we not going to come back at the end of the year and say that, you know, it took 3 quarters or up to 4 quarters to put something in place? Then, Chairperson, my other question, I won't go into specifics, there's not time for that today, but my other concern that I'm having, and I agreed wholeheartedly with going the value chain way. I don't think we can do it any other way. I don't want to say that. I know that the Western Cape government went that route 2-3 years ago, and they're starting to see some benefits from it now. And also just knowing the agricultural markets, I know that's the best way to do it. You can't plan any of these things in silos. It all works together. My question is around the Competition Commission. I know that there are certain pieces of legislation that actually works negatively about against things that we need to plan. Did the department look at possible, I would almost say, unintended consequences and possible ways where we're going to get into trouble or difficulty with pieces of legislation, red tape and requirements and things that we can't do? And I was just thinking out of the top of my head on the Competition Commission. I know sometimes, and the reason why I mentioned the Competition Commission is when the DG mentioned the malls. Sometimes, you know, you plan these things, but when you want to put it in practice, there are certain legislation and policies in place by our own government that hampers that. Then, Chairperson, my other question would be around the APP and the strategic plan. And the reason why I mentioned when we had questions to the AG and the Financial and Fiscal Commission is I was a bit, I would almost say, leergesteld, I don't know the English word, what? Whatever, that thing. Respondent or hoping to see a better link between the APAP and the annual staff plan or the strategic plan of the department. And the reason why I'm saying so is if we look just at something practical like, and I'm sure that will come into the planning, but it's also a proposal for the department for future, for us to make it easier and maybe also for themselves to work from one plan, because now we have the APAP and we have another plan, but I don't see the direct linkages in there. But maybe it's still too early. But for instance, when you talk about putting how many hectares under irrigation, here's an example on page 96, number of hectares of underutilized land in communal areas. Where the reporting cycle is or the whatever, if we can say in this area so many hectares of this or that will be planted, so that we can make the direct link between the different commodities in the APAP and the annual report. Because in the annual report, for me, as a layperson sitting here, I need to check what the department is doing. Just to say to put 162,000 hectares or whatever the amount is under irrigation and not where and link it to your APAP plan doesn't help. It will also maybe make it easier for us to monitor that. Chairperson, and then the other questions that I had was just for the DG, I've Googled the PRR. It's whatever, I can't produce that word, porcine pestis. Reproduction. I know it's got something with a reproduction and a respiratory syndrome that pigs have. And I've asked the industry one day, because everyone was talking about this thing that's going to come. My other question was the linkages between the APAT plan, the Department Strategic Plan, and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. In the presentation on Friday, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform spoke about a program called Soil Rehabilitation Animal and Health Management Program, and also debushing and regreening. That bringing the two departments nearer to each other, so that it's clear in our minds what is Department of Land Reform responsible for and what is the Department of Agriculture for. And I was very happy to see the DG of Land Reform yesterday. It shows that there is definitely stronger linkages with each other. And then just lastly, Chairperson, my question about funding. I saw in the APAP there was a sentence or a bullet point regarding Department of Agriculture, Department of Rural Development and Land Bank at funding. It brings me to my first question, the readiness. Because to have a plan, you cannot implement anything if you didn't put a proper funding towards that. How much or was there a cost, what is the right word, cost something done to see to put all these plans in place in this year, that is what it's going to be costing by a projection of the cost. I'm again concerned that we are not ready to start implementing and that a lot of the work is just going to be happening until the end of the third quarter or the fourth quarter and the provinces is not going to be ready. And if you don't have a cost amount towards that, the plans will not fall in place. So what is the costing of all of that, and is it in place, especially since the budget has been cut for the department? I will end it there, Chair, and again, please excuse me for being very rude by leaving. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ben. You are released. Can we then have Honourable Youngblood?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. What I would like to know from the department is how can it be explained that they have set themselves a target of 140 vets to be deployed in rural areas when the regulations governing community service has not been finalized? Are you setting yourself up for failure if you do that? Then I would like to know if it is possible for the department to come and make a presentation to us on the linkages between Operation Paquita and fisheries. And thirdly, I want to talk about forestry. Now, I'm aware of the fact that the area under commercial forestry in this country is very, very limited, and they face huge challenges in terms of labor and mechanization and wages and those kinds of things. I've been told by the industry that DAF is sitting on patches of commercially viable land, which, and I quote the people I've spoken to, which have no interest in developing. Now, I would also like to know when the department is going to start the process of handing over forestry land to different communities. Now, coming to strategic goal four. Where am I now? Sorry. Strategic goal 4.1. Now, the department has set themselves the target of planting temporary unplanted areas, the so-called TUPs, over the next 5 years, and if it is added up, it comes to 8,625. But the ministerial forward states that 11,500 tufts will be planted. And then there's talk of a new agroforestry strategy, which will be implemented in this coming financial year, which is a new target. And maybe the department can explain to us what the rationale behind the new target is and how it fits into the department in terms of APAB and IGDP. With regards to the number of hectares in irrigation schemes, it seems that if you look at what the NDP wants to happen in the country by 2030, an additional 500,000 hectares of land should be brought under irrigation. And if you look at the departmental targets and you add them up, they have only made allowance for 1,250 hectares of irrigated land over the next 5 years, which means that the department is not likely to meet the targets set by the NDP. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start also with the first presentation from the AG, because it was actually leading towards the processes we are undertaking. I think it still comes back the same way today. That is why I asked the question of internal controls have been addressed, because now something came up again. It is compliance, to say no compliance. Compliance, because as they explained, this is the expectation and this is what we have theft or what we got. So it is, we're still lagging behind, the department is still lagging behind there. I think we must also get some explanation on what is the difficulty, because they look quite small, those gaps that are mentioned. Issues that are mentioned are quite small issues and very clear issues to be addressed by the officers. Now, if they still come back, it it means there's something. Now, my question around it will be, do the department have a capacity to deal with such concerns, including the issues of the audit committee, because it was reported to the audit committee surrender. So if we can have an answer, a very clear answer, if the problem is capacity, or if there's a problem which the department must face, just saying it to us, because it is what we are picking up now from the audit. I also asked in the morning a question of what kind of a research is done by FFC, looking at their content of their presentation, because they are able to come with specific issues on the ground. That I'm proud of. I know that these are the issues that we will always come across on the ground, and the recommendations and so on. It was because I understand the department to be doing that kind of a job, not the FFC. Now, I haven't heard the department coming with that grassroots information, exactly the activities on the ground, why these problems and so on, that FFC is able on its research to come with it. Now, it made me to question the research capacity of the department. If the department have to scratch around FFC, we must now get it right so that we don't repeat questions from time to time. We must be told that the department capacity under research is still a questionable, it's not up to scratch, and then we can talk about it and try and see how do we come right with it. Now, coming to the issues of the SWAT plan and the ATP, I think I am also there disturbed by the way the report is coming, because we expected a report that will talk. If it is budget, if it's a strat plan and APP, they must be able just to relate up to the finance. And that is lucky. There are very serious gaps there, because I will show you an example of what was mentioned. An issue of establishment or development or training of the cooperatives. I would want to ask, because I've seen there's also a budget regarding that on training cooperatives and small businesses. And I think looking at that, it reminds me of the newly established department of the SBD, the Small Business Development Mandate. If you look into that mandate, they are well situated to deal with those things and so on and so on, so that the department itself becomes a client to the cooperatives. Now, if you are going to enter a terrain of even training them, doing all the things around them, it's going to affect our budget. That is why we will miss some of the priorities, because as a department constitutionally that is established to deal with establishment of such cooperatives, and department, I think even in the pronouncement, the president put it very clear that this is a department that must even go into the transversal agreements with the department, so that government 30% procurement on small businesses works. Otherwise, it is not going to work, because obviously they will not get any work from private sector. Now, if we deal it in the manner we want to deal, all government departments are going to have small business cooperatives. In fact, they are there, but now they will always be budget, and there will not be any saving that we are trying to deal with. We must look into that and get it clear what is expected from us. And I'm telling you, my brothers, in the department, you will not have a capacity to establish correct required cooperatives. you are going to grab people, groups of people, push money into them without any impact. That we talked about. That one you must check and look into the Small Business Development Department, because in your department that you are relating with, you don't mention it so far. It's land reform, it's others, it's DTR, you don't mention it, and I think that is the department that must deal with it. We will get maybe that explanation, how do you don't see it that way. Now, the other worry is that it looks as if when we deal with these issues of strategy and the plans and the budget, we forget about pronouncements. We forget about the ruling party vision. And that is going to create problems, because here, whether we want to go this route or this route, there's a ruling party that is giving direction. And it is giving direction through its pronouncements. Now, we are very near coming from the pronouncements. I don't know how come that we forget such pronouncements. For an example, there was an issue about the 200 hectares. That is coming. It's not for this one. It has been pronounced. We found it here. Now, we expected you to expand on how you are dealing with that so far. We tried to follow it, the 200 hectare issue attached to Fetadala. Now, we don't hear it. We don't hear it, and we must get to other things again. We must get to other MPPs. How are we going to touch that one, monitor it, and look on the progress made into that one, because now it's no more there. If it is there, it is a bypass. We just mentioned it, and we pass to us. It's a very key aspect in our field, especially the role it's supposed to play in the economy. Because it will also talk to the mentions in the NDP. It will address also issues. Now, those pronouncements are very, very, very much important. If we deal with issues, but we don't deal with them, there's a problem. There was another pronouncement again of the AgriPax. I think it was touched a bit. The issue of the AgriPax, the issue of this district, that has been specifically mentioned by the president to say, we have divided our district in this manner. This is how it will work. This is how it will work. And now, if we are not going to involve ourselves very clearly on that one, we are going to miss the point, because there's a 2 billion funding going to be utilized there. Now, if we allow that 2 billion to go behind us or avoid us, we are in trouble. This department will never address what it's supposed to address, because we leave our things, and other people, we have said it last year, said if we do it this way, others will come and grab it and go. It's 2 billion. Don't we want to have a share in that 2 billion as a department? I want an answer there. And it was very clear in the APEP, one recent APEP, around this issue of the AgriPax, the commodities, and so on. It explains. Now, if you deal with that issue, you are going to enable us as oversighters to know that in this district, we charge this thing, this commodity. In that district, we charge this commodity. In that district, we charge this commodity. I think the APEC also guidance are there, as it was explained. Now, we need to have a very clear direction in that one. And then I'm saying, the other one is the budget itself. I have just made an example to say, some of the mentioned issues in the budget, your capacity and the resources themselves, do you think they are going to cover what is mentioned in the strike plan and what is mentioned in the debt? To me, I don't want to to lie. You see, I will take it as a paper presented to us. I don't see it working unless you can prove me wrong. So we must be able to talk and budget of what is possible, what we will be able to realize. The other thing, when you deal with your strategic objectives, in some strategic objectives, I think it's very much important when you say it's a number of animals, improvement schemes for prioritized value chain commodities monitoring. Now, you say for this one, it's two animal improvement schemes. Now, under Kaunafat, as an oversight player, I need to know where is that one? Where is that two? Here and there. Because I must follow and see if it is there. But now, if you mention it, and I don't know where it is, I always go to the wrong things, and I'm not in a position to assist the ruling party in addressing the pride of the people, especially the previously disadvantaged people who must get these things. Now, if we are going to take it this way, it's many of them where things have been mentioned. Very important things. Number of aquaculture research projects conducted. Now, it is baseline research projects on interactions between aqua operations. Two new research studies on genetics and nutrition for our species conducted. West. How am I going to get to that? Is this thing to me? It's very much important. But now I am disempowered. I am seriously disempowered. It's for me to know where is that. That's another problem. So for the department to cut long processes of repetition of same questions again, same questions, it will be advisable for the department. When you deal with this report of this nature, close our mouth. Give us what is needed. Leave other things. Give us what is needed so that we don't ask many questions. We go and see. What we must do now, we have said it to the committee of the oversight, the role player, to say, we spend more time now in the offices, and when we go out, it's pathetic to us. We see things that we are not very satisfied about, because now we see that we have thought we have done something, we are still very, very far. It is because we spent more time in the offices. But if we got a relevant information, we go there, we improve, we go there, we do something, we go there, and then we are able together to see where the gaps are. Those are my questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Not much. But the first thing that I want to say is that we mention documents that are our guide as government, whether it's the manifesto, the NDP, the State of the Nation Address, Jalonjala. These documents are developed not sitting around the table and think as to what we can put in the document. It's experiences of what our people out there go through. And then those documents that form a broad policy guideline are put in place for us to follow them with that frame of mind that we want to change the situation in the country. So I agree that on what Honorable Ramaphosa is saying, so that we can begin to see the change in the department. One example, I was reading this only the executive in this APEC document. It spells out in brief as to why they had these things put in place. For instance, the APAC process had an element in it of consultation that had to be done. I mean, if you go back to the State of the Nation address, and maybe if we are able to get as to what was the input in that consultation process of a number of stakeholders to ensure that it, what is in here puts into practice, because it's not a one person thing or a one department thing. There are many stakeholders. And again, our, in relation to that, our budget, I mean the departmental budget, is cut by 309 million. That's 6 billion. There is that cut of 309. In following what is in the paper and the issues that I'm raising of consultation and stakeholders, is there any, looking at the cut, is there any input to close the gap in that process of a consultation in relation to our budget? Because we can put a lot of things if there is no money to reinforce, then there is a problem. On this for instance, on page 35, it talks about what we don't talk about all the time. Forestry. I hope I'm right, but no, it's the fruit. It's the fruit industry. If we want to, we talk about red spot. Is it red? Dark spot? Black spot. Red, dark, black. Black spot. But if we talk about those things on that industry, we talk a problem that affects us as South Africa, but a problem of a sector that is not transformed. That sector is mainly white, if you like. Not transformed, such a breakdown, so that it begins to yield to the results that we want. And I'm saying, maybe it may not fall here, but in the long term, maybe medium, not even long, medium, we really need to see a change on this one. We can assist and do this and do all of that, yet we are assisting a very tiny section of our community. We didn't talk much about it, even in the presentation we skipped it. So I think we need to do some work in relation to that. I think the second one is the, while it's just interest on, again, this one doesn't have a page, does it? After 36. There is a page after 36 that talks about the South, North, something like that. I know for a fact that there are countries in the South that we may benefit. I mean, if you listen to the gentleman who was sitting there, Dishi, where you are, from FSP, he was outlining a number of studies that they've taken, and I'm happy that they will be invited so that we get exactly what are we talking about. The 2.2 says ensure support for market access and processing of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries products. And then 15.16, report on strategic engagement of partners with the South, North South. For interest, whom are we talking about here? Forest, maybe that the gentleman from Forest is here. My interest is not the forest in terms of what we have and all of that. It's what the people benefit. Your women, your everything. I'm not raising it because there is no other opportunity to raise it. Because there is transport, there is a number of things in terms of that forest, the logs, taking the logs from the forest to change the situation and empower women. What is our plan on that? On budget, CFO, just one question. I've seen the priorities. In general, in government, it's always the compensation of employees. It's COE. Bulk of money goes there. And it's thin in terms of the core business, what we're supposed to do. Whether you like, if you like goods and services and all of that. But my question, when you sit as CFO and say here is 6 billion, there are items. Budget is also is always itemized, isn't it? COE, administration, but always administration again is big. Administration and COE is always big. Sitting there, what do you say in terms of your plan so that we can accelerate the change in the sector of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, so that the budget goes to where it matters most. Not to have this big head most of the time. The administration is big there. Where it matters most is thin. The pyramid is upside down. And then the money goes there. I hope you get my question, because I'm talking priorities of utilizing our budget vis-a-vis what I've seen in your presentation here.
We want to take the opportunity to welcome the APEC, which is more in response to the revitalization, the 9-point plan that the president has presented. But as other honorable members are indicating. It's a year after the presentation. I'm not sure whether we're going to achieve those things that you've mentioned. Let me check with the department in terms of this. The value chain commodities that was presented in the APEC. One, particularly on the issue of market, I don't see the linkage even to the presidential pronouncement and the establishment of cooperatives, as Honorable Ramaphosa is saying. Of course, I know that department might have them, but have we registered them? Do we know what they are doing? Have we made most of your baseline does not have evidence, as some of the issues have raised by the AG. Just to check. In terms of one, on the poultry, you are going to expand on the opportunity that exists with that in that sector, particularly to create jobs and other things. But no, seated here we know that industry is dominated by 6 big companies. And I don't know, there's no indication how the department would going to empower the small scale, because the NDP put very clear that jobs will be created out of the small scale business that we're going to create. But there I don't see in the APEC, and going back even into the your APT, no baseline in terms of those cooperatives that you're supposed to build or establish. Because it's important that we must monitor knowing where we come from. But it's not reflected. And it mentions the number of departments responsible, and you've promised DG this meeting that you're going to, as you're going to present the APEC, you'll even present the funding model. Integrated funding model. And I didn't hear it. I'm not sure whether it's omitted or what, because seated here would know that we are not going to meet those targets alone. But in rural development, we just can only vouch that they've committed $2 billion for AgriPAC. But these others of red meat, poultry, and putting more land on productive, we're expecting from agriculture, and to create that partnership with the private sector. But we don't see those things yet. We just assume they're going to happen. The issue of us succeeding in the red meat cluster is the management, it's the management of diseases. And in the previous presentation again, you have promised that you have, I was just laughing when you say integrated. At that time you were integrated improvement plan for management of diseases. So now it's not visible in your unless maybe it will come with your entities. So I just want you to confirm them so that when we're going to meet with those entities, we'll then start to look at those things that were promised that they will be there for their day. And the other issues is your research development. So I've seen you put the map there which shows where we can plant where and that. But in terms of the actual work that we go into making sure that indeed there is production, you don't see that whether how the department is going to support the program in terms of the research itself. Of course, you might say the ARC will come, because I expected to say the DG will say on research and development, the ARC will touch on those issues. We don't have to just assume it's because it's ARC or okay. And on the fruit and vegetables, I've seen in the province that producing almost 70% of the fruit, which is Limpopo, where I come from. So it's not there in the item. I don't know what. Fruit and vegetables in Limpopo, it's not there. Whether it's because of black spot, as the Honorable Makwane indicated. But we expect that there should be money for research and do away with those things. Because for us, it's about problem of climate change and your capacity in terms of the food to make sure that you don't have such things. So if it has been excluded because of, that's why I'm saying we're using just two assumption, whether it's because of the black spot of orange, and which is a problem with this department if we're not investing more on research, particularly in dealing with those things like your foot and mouth disease. I know that if it was not the market, probably it would have not been done better. So maybe they must burn us again on the fruit so that we can do more, because that's how the language that we understand better as a department. Let me give Honorable Jaita, because I think you are in the hand of the...
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I always look forward to something specific that is going to assist the people in the rural areas. So I was just looking here through this budget, a specific budget, you know, that for instance is going to assist the people for fencing those fields and may to encourage them to be active in cultivating, because those people know nothing else in rural areas except that they can be assisted by this department in doing that. And this perhaps can be worked out with the traditional leaders. So I was just looking, I just want to find out from the budget, is there anything of that nature specifically to help those people? Because people in the rural areas would like to see things practically being done. So if you can just do that as a department, then people perhaps now would say there's something that is taking place. So there are big plans that just like unused. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Honorable Jason. The other thing, this thing here, increased irrigated skin to 1.2 1.5 million. If maybe we can just get Larry Sur, is it a new target or we're taking it from the target that we had of revitalizing the irrigation scheme of the former Bantu, which was from former Bantu funds. There's been a program from yourself revitalizing all the schemes. So this 1.5, the baseline, where do you start? And have you finished Abu Makati and other things? Or is still is a new target or what? The last thing is, you are the leader and you are coordinating for issues of food security. But in the ACEP, we don't see your partners, how they are going to contribute. So I would actually suggest that to this committee that because the issues of food security affect ordinary citizens, and we just have to force to work with the department to make sure that all the stakeholders, but they participate and they are ready, because I've seen some of the dates is 2016, and I don't see as ready as through your HEP. So if we can just get whether all these stakeholders that's supposed to be part of the food security, are they ready with their plans? Who's going to monitor them? And from which baseline are we starting from? The last one is on the federal as we implement it. One just needs to check that whether does it mean that the subsistence producers are no longer going to be supported, or what's happening, because you don't see it, because you are taking money from Iliman. Isima was meant to support those, and then now the money is being shifted to Sesakala, which are we catering for subsistence farming? Because if we don't do that, we're going to have a problem. Because it would lose the meaning of Sesakala itself, because that's where we're supposed to start the post. On fisheries, I think we have dealt with issues. The only challenge that we had is that the strategy that was presented to us, no budget, aquaculture. So how do we achieve this? Because now we are tired of listening to meetings without credit delivery. No money. And for you to succeed in fisheries, it's the protection and the monitoring of what you have in the sea. And you don't have enough budget again to do that. You are going to implement the small fisheries, the small scale fisheries, which we welcome as a committee, because it's bringing those that have not been participating to participate. But the same issues come, the issues of research. Fact that indeed we unearth what we have in the sea better than what we saw now. we don't see the department moving with that particularly on research and the in terms of your ATP and ATEP itself. We are going to lose some of the researchers that we have, ARC, including in your fishery, of course, but we have enough resources to be able to build that capacity again. So let me leave it at that. You can respond to VGS.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. I think several questions pertain to the budget and the truth is that we've not been given new money for APAS. So we've got to align, direct some of the work that we are doing towards where we want to intensify the value chains, and we've got to begin to, and we are and have begun to begin to say to provinces, this is what you can do with our money. How ready is the public sector for all of these plans? We've been working with the provinces since about August 2013, and for the past year more intensely with other government departments. One of the things that I alluded to in my presentation is the paradigm shift. We can have whatever plans on the table, but people must be willing to do something different. And you don't change behavior, and you don't change expectations of people by way of issuing a memo. So I think, on the one hand, I'm saying we've done a lot of work. If you should ask any HOD of agriculture about APAD, he or she would be able to talk to how they are going to support and advance APAD. They will also be able to say there are various of their program managers who have been their leaders in the different value chains. So the we are not going to be able to have everything perfect in year one, where we can say, this is where all of the wheat projects will happen. This is where all of the red meat projects will happen. But our aim is to at least have a focal area for poultry in one province. It looks like it's Limpopo, possibly, and Free State, where we will have that. We want to have a wheat focus in the Western Cape, because it is ambitious to think you're going to start with 238,000 hectares of soya under production. It's a place where we've got to get to. And we're going to achieve certain things in the first year. We've got to pay attention and make noise about it and bring people along on that. I'd like to say we've put a lot of work in. The public sector, the private sector have come on board, other provinces, and we've done as ready as we can. And you're right chairperson and honorable members, we're not going to achieve this on our own. The second question about, are there not competition issues? Are there issues that unintended consequences of policies? Our minister has led us into a discussion with the Competitions Commission. Ministers met with the commissioner. We have met with the commissioner. We now have a technical meeting, which often there are competitions issues that come before the commission that we are not even aware of. And so there's a platform wherein they can bring those things to our attention. So, for example, we have also put something on the competitions agenda. One thing that we have found, you've heard OVP when they are here, they're saying some of the vaccines that they produce, because of our procurement system, it requires that our entity that produces this vaccine must compete against the pharmaceutical companies. And you'll have, because the provinces procure the vaccines, and so you'll have a situation where provinces would, where the Pfizers and whoever of the world will elbow out our entity. And so that shouldn't be correct. And so we've begun the conversation with the Competition Commission. Can we, so we can ask for exclusion where that the procurement of a specific vaccine can only be procured from OVP through the centralized procurement system. And I think it was FC that made recommendations around the central procurement, but I think that's where we could pick up also chats. There are some things that we are doing in that way. You'll see that there's efforts to do diesel procurements and uniforms and I don't know what all, but so we will do those which we can through the central procurement system. But again, to bear in mind, as the grant stands now, it is the provinces which are procuring the seeds and et cetera, et cetera. But we're certainly trying to assist where we can. And the response, the simple response to the question about the competition issues is that the Competition Commission is an entity who is our partner and who advises on us on things and whose assistance we can call on. I also mentioned that on the one hand I mentioned that so what we have, again, I said there is no new money. So we've directed the tax money, the Elimelech-Zema money, and saying do that, use that money. Not, remember the tax report said tax has largely been ineffective because we've used this money and we've sprinkled it all over the show doing what people want to do. We say, do it in terms to plant certain commodities or engage in certain agricultural activities which suits the land in particular districts and do it in the volumes so that it over the number of hectares or the number of participants so that we can have the volumes that we can change the trade numbers. That is some of the change that we will see. I've also said we have the business plans of the provinces. We have begun to plot those to see where it is. Time did not allow for me to go into each of the provinces, and I did not bring that, but to say, yeah, this is where what will happen in each of the provinces. But that information is there. However, I'd be happy to present that after the 1st of April, because I'm actually having a meeting with HODs, DG Rural Development and I are having that meeting with HODs on the 31st, so we are able to get them to sign on the dotted line around the integrity of that. Because when they report on a monthly basis, we expect them then to report against those projects. Because what has happened in the past is they give us information on this is the project, and eventually some of that money goes towards other projects, or we don't necessarily hold them accountable for that. Also indicated in a meeting that we have got staff on the ground who are going to do verification. We also have where we don't have the additional capacity. We use external capacity. We're going to increase the staff on the ground to be able to do that. But I come back to it is redirecting cash towards APAC priorities to the extent that provinces have bought into it. On rural development and their program, the grants that they have in land care, and some of the other questions on the integrated financing funding model, I'm going to ask the CFO to talk about it because he has been leading that unit of work. We did not bring all of the made reference to the integrated funding model under APAC. We did not bring all of that information. If we're not going to have a situation where all of that money is going to go into one pot, because as it stands now, that the land care budget comes on the dark vote. The animal and welfare program comes under the rural development vote, and theirs is not the concurrent function. But what we have agreed is in terms of having a common database so that we don't target the same farmers, we make sure that we concentrate our resources in the areas where we want to make a difference. So, for example, if forestry has rehabilitated land, and that land is now ready for grazing, that is the land that must come into account for where we will have some of our red meat producers operating. But CFO can talk to that. I still think that we've moved a long way this year just to be able to have that conversation and have a funding model where two departments and the public entity agree to focus the resources that they have for smallholder support and for agriculture. I'm going to ask, I think Dr. Modisani is here, he can talk to the 140 vets. I think he explained that question came up last week. We explained it that these vets are available. We believe that the regulations will come into effect early in the financial year. It is out for comment right now, and we do believe that this process is still here. But then maybe Mr. Manya can answer it. The linkages between Operation Pakisa and fisheries, I'm also going to ask my fisheries colleagues to answer it. Safe to say, there is a detailed Operation Pakisa aquaculture delivery plan. Detailed. Because that is what makes Operation Pakisa very different, where the team must do weekly monitoring and monthly reporting that is verified by TPME. And I don't know how, I mean, we can give examples of that, but and so that begins to define the work that we're doing around aquaculture. But that too did not get new money. What the Operation Pakisa, I think, got something like 227 million rand, which went to the Department of Environment Affairs, and we're having a conversation. Some of that money can come towards aquaculture, but we haven't received additional. And where we are hamstrung, if I'm going to give you a copy of the report that I had, last report on Operation Pakisa Aquaculture, was February. Some of the projects actually cannot move forward because there are no funding commitments. The forestry questions, Dr. Tao will answer those. I think you've got a note of them. It's I'm not going to try and repeat it. Also the one on irrigation. I think I did say in my statement earlier there is contestation between our scientists and the people who put together the targets in the ACP. Our scientists, our land use scientists and water people say that there's only 50,000 hectares available for irrigation. And therefore, that target of 500,000 hectares, that there's been a dispute around that from the beginning. But and I also indicated that we're trying to sort that out. Internal controls, I don't see the internal order. Fani is still here, but our audit manager Ibeta is here. I think I have, Chairperson, given the assurance in this meeting about internal controls having input right. The FCC says in their report this was the situation in 13-14 where there was no strategic risk register, no audit committee. And I have said to this report to this committee that we have put that right at the end of that financial year, and it will not be a repeating for this year that is ending now. But I think audit committee, the AG, can give assurance on that. The kind of research that is being done, I seem to think that the research that informs that is here in our APP, in the APAP, is quite a sound bit of research. And maybe, Chair, we must present some of that research to your strategic planning workshop, because I don't think that any of the information which the FCC gave on the state of agriculture, about the contribution of agriculture to GDP, the loss, the job losses, none of that is, all of that is included in our ADP, in our APAC report rather. So that information is available. I think when we present the Marine Living Resources Fund, they will also speak about the research that they do. And then sometimes we can't blow our own trumpets, but I think they have given us examples, I think in their pack, where there's external agencies and international agencies that actually have commended and putting our marine research that we do in South Africa right up there. So I think there's an external peer review on it, but certainly if the question is what is all of the research that is available, and I would be able to, maybe that's an outstanding matter to report to the committee, what the current research is that we are doing, what the research projects are that we've done in the last maybe 3 years, and the research reports that are available, we can certainly present that. A lot of the tables that we have in our economic analysis that we have in our APAC and some of the analysis that was in the NDP was done by BFAB. I think it's the Bureau for Agricultural Food. For food and agricultural production, and so we can make that available. I think the committee is saying share that research with us, because I think we are equally cautious about that, and our minister and deputy ministers, obviously, like we've got to put evidence-based things before them when we make a statement about whatever it is, stock depletion or etc. It has to be evidence-based. On the training of cooperatives. We're well aware that is the Department of Small Business, that it is their budget, that are with us in the cluster, but it remains our target. We've got to put that target down there, because our indicator is linking smallholders to markets. That is the target that we are responsible for. So we are saying, in fact, we're saying in the previous financial year, we established, and that was audited, 11 new cooperatives. We also supported 107, so there is a baseline for that. But how we do it through the Department of Small Business, that will be reflected in the APAP, should be reflected in the APAP plan, but I think it needs to be in our APP because we remain responsible for it. The people who provide the technical support is a different matter. But I think the honourable member is correct that we should put in, certainly in the APAC plan, small business needs to feature more strongly. I also think that I've been talking about the 200 hectares, but maybe Joe can explain how that technical forum on the implementation of the food and nutrition security policy works, how we get the information and keep the other departments who contribute towards these NDP targets, how we work with them. In this business plan, I can only put the targets for the budget that I have. I cannot put targets for budget that is not available. But we take responsibility for coordinating how the whole of government will deliver that. AgriPark, I've not put it in my business plan because it's not my target, and the 2 billion is not coming from us. But certainly, as I said in the presentation, we will assist rural development in deciding where those AgriParks are, depending on where we have the concentrations in production. So to that, we don't know yet where those agri-parks are. We probably will be clearer next week about where they will be. But I do not think that the expectation is that there will be 27 agri-parks on the 1st of April. It is something that we will work towards during the course of the year. Maybe I'll just draw my breath and... maybe you can take my finance question, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, I sit here.
Oh,
sorry. I told you to call us before I talk. I get the permission to quit before I talk. I'm laughing at another Matakwana because if you... Whenever she says Joe, she's mine. Now, some few things that might border on more policy than technical. I can't see this member. He's taking a very serious cover behind these bottles. The chairperson, at one stage, the extended cabinet was called, with quick calls. We met at O.R. Tambo building. O.R. Tambo building, the building for the DECO, that beautiful building as a drive. President, deputy, premiers were there. MECs for finances were there from all provinces. There was no discussion. We were told that money is going to be cut. There were no discussions. We were told the president instructed the minister, treasurer, to give the story. I think premiers had some few questions. The answer was the same to all of them, and we were told to go. It was the shortest. And they spoke of some few millions leading to billions and all that. After that, there was a sauna. That did not take on board the meeting that took place in the OR building. Did not. And there was not even a discussion that we have called you on OR. Now, what do you think could be done? Where your departments do your jobs with what you have. So that's the situation across the board that we are looking. But I still want to know, maybe we'll talk later with the DG, why most money was taken from us. Because I'm told the big cut is from agriculture. The big cut is from agriculture. The big input from the president is in agriculture. So there is that contradiction that will have to work out, not at this level, maybe at other levels. But I was the chair of quite several portfolio committees in the province where I worked before I became an MEC. One thing that we used to do was to approach treasurer when we feel that our committees have been squeezed, our departments have been squeezed. Not just only to find problem of them not having money and all that, but this committee, by the way, has a better clout than the department itself to approach the finances, whoever they are, to say, our oversight tells us that the work shall not happen in the department. Either win or you don't, but it is in part of the tradition of the portfolio committee to do it. So it's a cry to say, do it. The question is, it has never happened that the agriculture has such a big portion in disorder when the big portion of money has been taken. So we need to marry that understanding. That's the first one that I think borders on policy, rather than us really sitting here and trying to answer the questions, answer the questions from the answers we don't have. The second one, this one of the Department of Small Business, has been instructed to go in individual departments where they feel they've got a portion to discuss. At this present moment, I know there is a big discussion between the DTI, because the most big portion of them comes from DTI. And DTI, I'm told, has given the responsibility and we had a little bit of a pass. So there is that they are doing. I'm sure they'll be going around. But remember, the honourable member, they would not have skills of supporting those established agricultural co-ops. Those skills will still reside with the Department of Agriculture. Even if it happens, when it happens, there will be those things that will stay together. We work hand in hand and very closely together to see that they succeed. You might throw those cops to them to die because they would not have an oxygen of growth coming from them. I hope the Minister of Agriculture and the Minister of Small Business and their DGs will find a proper plan of going forward so that there is a growth rather than death after the handing over working on those matters. The 2 billion you spoke about, that money was literally put by rural development. If you look at the speech response to the president from the Department of Agriculture, says other departments that are part of that will have to refocus some money towards the agri-parks. There is no new money. After the 300 million, you'll have to find another new money to throw in the priorities of the department. So it is one area that all of us will have to work on. My DG here knows there are our wars that we still have to fight. The big war of CASP. Because Minister and I, we said CASP must be moved from Schedule 4 to Schedule 7. Because Schedule 7 is a concurrent decision. How do you use that money? Schedule 4 is all unto you, the earth. Do as you wish. That has not happened. That has not happened. And as I'm sitting here, I'm just boiling a little bit because I know provinces would not stop doing as they wish. They will not. And we have these priorities that are beautiful in the paper and all here. So that is the home turf how much? Because 2 out of that goes to cash, that is minus 2 billion, scale with 4. The other one goes to the... But it looks like we have something like 3 or even less. We have 2 billion. This department has 2 billion rands. That's the money you have. If you talk all these things, we talk about other people's money. We talk about the money that you wish it to be there. And this cash money, if it could be used properly, I still believe we can go, we can walk a better distance than the distance as we walk. That's not from me. That comes, whether the report is final or not final, it has come out from the presidency to say we have not made an impact. This report is there. That you have not, so we need to change the shift. This shift that DG talks about, it needs to happen. It needs to start to all of us to say, when we briefed the scopper the other day, the scopper said, you cannot, sometimes you can take it off, the money, use because it's given to you. They don't account, we do. So we account for the money that you don't know what it has done. So it's one thing as a department we need, I guess, Nastrapa next time if this money still goes as it is. It tends to it. I mean, the left. Mura. If that money does not change and be used in a proper way, because it's not used in a proper way, you hear stories that it pays salaries. Where is the fiscal? You hear stories that some provinces, they don't put any money on agriculture. They have their fiscal. They don't do it. It's, their agricultural money is calculated in their fiscal. But it doesn't find its way because there is this cash. So these are the things that we need to fix and make sure that that you go. I'm not making the excuses, but I want to agree with you because some of the beautiful ideas on this are not going to work. Are not going to work. Some of the beautiful ideas on these papers that you put are not going to work because that's a shellet. Without shellet, we are not going to do this job. We sit here, you cry to us, you cry to you, and we just don't know what to do. The last one, I think, one thing that our ministers, both rural and agriculture, have tried to do and are doing, is the working together of these two departments. The line is very thin. The line is very thin. Because this fencing and this is a development rather than the agriculture. It's a rural development. So that money of rural of development stays with the rural development. But indeed, the work together. Controversial last point that I make. When the National Development Plan was adopted, it was agreed by both the ruling party and the government that is a developing document. It's not stagnant. It's not cut and dry. There are things that you will see them as we go and need to fix them. And by the way, NDP has no budget. So a budget will come from us and then we'll see how much we can. One big thing, by the way, that has been rejected in the NDP is the appointment of the National Commission of the South African Police. That the NDP has said a certain committee will sit down and appoint and recommend. That has been rejected already. So it's not cut and sewn. It's not a Bible. So if they come with 5,000, we come with 1,000. Because we have done the research, we know where that is, we have looked at the money. So they were sitting somewhere. It's adopted, it's our document, but there are things that somewhere, somehow, we'll have to. I thought those were broader policy, technical. Will have to come. But remember, they are sending people with a long list to the shop, with and a big basket minus money.
Thanks, GM. This committee, through myself, already we've done that. We've met with the Minister of Finance and the Deputy Minister of Finance and your Minister. And Minister of Finance raised issues which are the issues that this committee, if you had implemented issues that the committee has been raised, you would be affected. The issues of alignment, the issues of baseline, and we're repeating them even today, they're not there. So they're saying, how do you give people money when they don't have a baseline? You don't, the norms and standards for funding small farmers, those are the issues. And Treasury has been saying since the inception of the department, these issues have been raised with the department. Fortunately, me and you are just coming, but it has been raised and there's never been a progress. So that's why the funding, issue of the funding, yes, it has not moved in the direction that we want, but they've raised issues that are an impediment for the growth of your budget in the department, because there are a lot of leaks in your department. Your minister was there and was even agreed that we need a workshop between rural development, ourselves, and finance, so that we deal with those things. So I'm just saying, what is important is to, which actually we've agreed that the two ministers and I, that you see the only way that you can convince anybody to give you money, you must say, you have said I'm going to develop this 1 million hectares. And this 1 million hectares, they're communal, which is traditional leaders and area. KwaZulu-Natal, you have 300. Golden Popo, you have 200. I'm just giving you an example. And in terms of the budget that you were given to me, Treasury, I've got 100 rand, and I must do 9,000 hectares. What is the logic? You're providing evidence, but your department cannot do that. And that's what this committee has been asking you to do those things, so that we are able to, let's make Treasury not to get excused, not to give more funds. You know, when there, if finance have got the pressure of their fiscal, they'll target the department that they know that they are unable to deal with those things. So, and the minister, your minister was there, agreed that those things, the alignment, for instance, the alignment of your program as a department and the your entities. So those are the issues that Treasury are. I would say that we've done that on your behalf, and we want you to play the ball now, so that tomorrow as we go back, when we go into the workshop, we'll then be able to say, this is what we said the department must do. Now they are doing it. So how do we then move in implementing the manifesto and the NDP as tabled? So we should actually have that understanding. There is that understanding from the two, the deputy minister and your minister. So we've done it. I need to ask him that we must do it. We've done it. So may not play the ball and we'll see. So you can just tell us now what you're going to do with the rand that you have. If you have rand, say, I'm going to be able to plant 1 hectare because I've got rand. So because this is the evidence that I'm having. Then we'll move from there and engage Treasury, because Treasury has a responsibility to fund the priorities of government. So, and there is priorities that are unfunded. And Treasury is not convinced that you don't have money yourself as agriculture. So I just wanted to clear that one. So CFO?
Chairperson, I'm shutting my mouth, but I'm not convinced myself about the document. Unless somebody read, I don't know where this verse comes from, that the sins of the fathers will really descend of the son. This government, this is, we haven't finished yet, we're 10 months. For 10 months, my minister was there, definitely on this point, will engage with my minister to start with and all that. tell you, I don't want to talk about other people. We are not a West department. We are not.
No, you are now out of order, GM.
Let me say, I will engage with the minister on the matter, and definitely come back to you, because I do not agree with this.
Therefore, you will not be can then respond on those issues.
Thanks, Chief. I would start with the comment that was made by Honorable Makhagwane, but now he's out. Can I maybe start? Okay, let me start with the question on the work that is being done between ourselves and rural development and land reform. We met as two CFOs, and we identified similar items of funding. And what we agreed upon was that we are going to present to our principals in terms of saying, let us work together. And fortunately, in one of the min-techs that happened, or min-mex, the deputy minister was very clear to all of us as officials that there is a need for us to work together. And we have already started with some work. And we have come up with a document which we call a funding model. And in that document, we are saying that whenever Rural Development and Land Reform Department buys a piece of land, DAF should be following them behind with production inputs. Now, as part of our agreement, we said, for example, rural development and land reform will concentrate on infrastructure. There was a question of fencing, and we said that should be under rural development, because basically the budget for fencing is within rural development. And then we as staff would concentrate on production inputs. The other thing that came out of that discussion was the issue of categorization of farmers. As it stands, everybody has his or her own category of farmers. Now, the two departments have agreed that we must have one category of farmers, and hence we hear people talking around the issue of nonsense standards. Now, I want to then move to the next level. We also internally, under development finance, we have come up with a document called Integrated Development Finance Policy Framework. And we consulted very widely. We involved rural development, land bank, and other institutions, and even private sector, because our view has been a simple one that funds are all over. For example, within DAF itself, we've got CASP. There's money that was at land bank for Mafisa. And then there's AgriBEE, and then at the same time there's Ilima Lesima. And then most of the time you find that we are not talking to each other. Now, this particular framework is saying, let's put money into a central pot, and we would have people who would authorize, and there would be guidelines in terms of what is going to be funded, what is not going to be funded. So I just wanted to highlight that. Then there was a question around issues of administration versus core priorities. If I can refer the honorable members to slide 50. If we look at our budget, we have a budget of 6.3 billion. And I think I need to put a preamble before that. The deputy minister was saying we only have 2 or 3 million, and I must just put it in perspective. Yes, we have the 2 to 3 billion internally, because the other, I think it's an amount of 3.7 billion in the 2015-16 year, out of the 6.3, will be going to provinces and also to our public entities. In there, there are transfers for ARC and also transfers to NMAC. Now, where I'm getting to is that if you look at the total budget that we've got of 6.6, 729 million is only for administration, and under administration we've got corporate services, we've got stakeholder relations, we've got finance, we've got ministry, we've got the OTG, and we also have planning, policy and monitoring and evaluation. So to answer the question that was raised, most of the money of the department is not centered around administration. Now, there was a presentation that was made earlier by the DG. For example, if we were to look at, I'm not sure if the members have this presentation, the strategic objectives. If you look at the strategic objectives that have budget next to them, I must say, for example, under strategic 2.1 to objectives 2.1 to 2.3, 32% goes to those objectives. And then you also look at 3.1 to 3.3, 41.7 goes to those strategic objectives. And those are our main strategic objectives, and which is which touches on the issue of food security. Now, just to close off, I think the DG have spoken around the issue of aquaculture, but we need to be clear. We do not have a budget for aquaculture. We have engaged with National Treasury on aquaculture. There's a program within Treasury called Economic Competitive Support Package. We have been engaging with Treasury for the past 2 years, trying to get funds out of this. And Treasury has not come with a positive response. And if you look at the kind of programs that we're marketing to Treasury, it would assist the department to move forward. So I want to say to the honorable members and the chairperson, we are not sitting down and doing nothing around issues of funding. But what the DM was saying is very important. I'm not sure the issue of the issue that the department is underspending is coming from where. Because if you look at our finances, for the past 3 or 4 years, we have been spending at least 98% of our budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. It's not us, it's the report that CASP has been underspending. And it is very interesting. When we ask CASP questions, you say you don't know anything about CASP because provinces are not giving information. When we talk about underfunding, you say you're spending a CFO. You know, you must help us to help you to get money where it's necessary. Nina, several meetings, they complain about the province. They do as they wish. You can't just report, blah, blah. So, and the report that they are underspending, which they talk about, is on cash. So you cannot say you've been spending. Because and unfortunately, Treasury cannot here to defend themselves. And it's not Treasury only. It's not Treasury only. FFC has said that today. So it's not the moment. so we don't have to defend ourselves. We have to work towards making this department do it, perform its mandate, and deliver services to the community. And the role of this portfolio committee is simply to work with the department to make sure that unlock those resources, reach where they must be, where they must go, and make sure that the impact is felt on the ground. The reports from the Minister of Performance and Monitoring show that MAFISA program, Mrs. Agricultural program, has not performed very well. There is a report on CAS which says the same. So what is important is for us to use those reports and say how then do we do much better, and so that no one should use those reports to hide or to lock finances for us CFO. So can we then get response? You said who else did you to respond? Okay, forestry.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. I'll deal with the questions addressed to forestry, starting off with the question that seeks to establish whether it is the case that the department is sitting with patches of viable plantations. I think to address this question, it would be helpful that one just give a context to this issue, that in terms of the National Forest Act, there are three ways of assigning management of state forests. One is through community forestry agreements. The second one is through lease agreements. The third one is through assignments. And all these processes, all these approaches have got their requisite processes. In 2001, when a decision was made to restructure state forests as in order to divest state of the responsibility to manage state forests, it was decided that state forests should be put in three packages. The first one is category A, which is high value or viable commercial plantations, about 84,000 hectares. The second category, which is about just over 60,000 hectares, is category B's. And the third category is category C's, which are mainly the woodlots. So I think to get closer to the to answering the question, the indication that we can make is that category B and C plantations are still under government control and management, but they are also subjected to processes of having them managed by communities where they are under land claims or where they are subjected to informal tenure rights as per the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act administered by the Department of Rural Development. So it could be that the plantations that the Honourable Member is referring to are those that are still being processed under those requisite land reform and restitution processes. But indeed, we are managing about just over 61,000 hectares of state forests. They are at different levels of viability, and we are, as you have noted there, we are also in the process of reducing temporary unplanted areas in those so that they can actually be improved. As to when these are to be handed over to communities, the early explanation applies. We are dependent on rural development facilitating resolution of land claims, as well as confirming informal tenure rights. And we are working very closely through relevant structures. structures in the regions and at national level to ensure that this process is finalized. And as you also agree, honorable members, the land reform and restitution process are very intricate processes that require very meticulous research, confirmation, and also some dispute resolution so that you don't hand over assets and they are subjected to conflicts. But also the whole issue about sustainable management of state forests, it's also taken into account so that you don't hand over forests and they become a liability and they get degraded. The next issue is about the agroforestry strategy. It is indeed a new target, and this was born out of the realization that commercial forests in particular are in areas that are mostly high-value lands, which can also be usable for agricultural purposes. That being the case, the need was then identified to help the department work closely with production and other units to look at developing a strategy in terms of which there can be coexistence of agricultural crops and commercial plantations, you know, your pine and eucalyptus species and others. So it is on this basis that this deliverable will be embarked upon in the coming financial year, Honorable Chairperson. On the issue about hectares under irrigation, the DGS outlined this clearly that there is this situation that NDP expects about 500,000 and that the National Water Resource Strategy identifies about 80,000 looking at water resources, and we in our research identified just around 30,000 hectares which then creates a challenge in terms of reconciling. But we are aware that the issue of irrigation is dependent on a number of factors, water availability being the primary one, and of course suitability of the land for agricultural production. So all these factors are being worked on now in collaboration with the Department of Water and Sanitation through the relevant structures and also assisted by agencies like the Water Research Commission. Then there was also a question, Honorable Chair, about what people benefit from forestry. As I indicated, there are those forms of restructuring of state forests, and the one that I can specifically talk about is the lease arrangement, where we clearly prescribe in terms of Section 46 of the 70-year leases that we signed with government, signed with private forestry companies. In terms of that section, the companies must work closely with communities and should empower communities in line with prescribed benefits around forestry. In forestry, we talk about consumptive and non-consumptive uses that communities must access. They should be given preference in terms of contracts, and youth empowerment must also be factored. So with that, we monitor through regular meetings with those companies that are leasing about 84,000 hectares, Siyatubeka, Singisi, Amatola, and MTO. We monitor compliance with those empowerment arrangements. Equally, with regard to our government-managed plantations, we also explore how communities benefit. In some of our operations, like reducing the temporary unplanted areas where we don't have forest services aides or our own employees, we outsource, but as part of the terms of reference, we prescribe that they should employ local people in undertaking those silvicultural practices, and also youth and differentially abled people. So those are things that are happening in the forestry environment. Obviously, they need to be improved upon, Honorable Chairperson. The last one was relates to the irrigation schemes, whether it's new schemes. I'll verify this, Honorable Chairperson, but on Makatini and your Valhart irrigation schemes, work is still being done to rehabilitate so that they can revitalize, so that they can be in good working condition. But where expansion is possible, with in collaboration with Department of Water and Sanitation, we will also be embarking upon extension of irrigation areas. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I suggested that the AG comment on the question of internal controls on the risk and audit committee issue. The AG. I said that to give assurance. That's what the committee wanted. I have indicated, Chair, that those queries that are raised by the FFC was based on the 2013-14 annual report. I've also reported that we have corrected, and I've given the committee the assurance that the issue of we've corrected the risk issue, we've corrected the audit committee issue, and that will not be a repeat finding. But if I've said that in a few meetings. Chair, you also asked who we consulted on the APAP and what people raised and were that whether it was included. I said it was at least an 18 months or more consultation. I'm sure that our secretary has got some record of that, but just to give the assurance that as the document went along, we made such changes, because you would lose goodwill and support if you did not reflect the changes. I mean, one of the recent changes was when in November last year we had talked, this is rural development and ourselves that were talking. One of the departments said, you know, if you don't overlay your maps with the test the integrity of the water sources, you're not going to go anywhere. You can't do agriculture without water. So based on that input, that was completely in our blind spot, although we knew it, we could integrate it. Just to give that assurance, that is why one can say with confidence APAC is now belongs to the cluster. My suggestion is also that the questions that were raised on fisheries, won't those be answered with the Marine Living Resources Fund presentation?
No, I'm not going to allow Auditor General to speak here, because the presentation was not presented by him, FSC. And you and AGS presented to the committee on the internal control of the department. You know where you are now. So, rest assured, we know as a committee where you are. can we then now have the Marine Living Entity for a plan present?
Thank you, Chairperson. May I just find Honorable Chairperson, how many minutes do I have? I want to work within the allocated time.
Non-vision and mission background, just zoom into the program. I need to have been given that vision and mission.
Yes, sir.
You can even sing it. You can sing it.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members and my deputy minister and colleagues. I will go to slide number 7. We, as a department and as a country, have 22 fisheries sectors or species that are commercialized. And on slide number 8, in addition to the wild capture fisheries, we are also implementing the aquaculture depth. The question on Pakista has 4 elements, and the one element or the one component is aquaculture. And the aquaculture, Pakista particularly is on aquaculture, to supplement on the need for more fish, and we supplement by producing. I will cross. And perhaps just to note, Chair, the question that was asked around the cooperatives, I think the Deputy Minister has ably explained that our role will be more to strengthen and provide training in the technical aspects and rely on the other departments, particularly the Department of Small Business Enterprises, to provide the business aspects and governance issues. Number six, we will develop the recovery plans to address the depletion of fish stocks and in the prioritized fish stocks. Chairperson and members, honorable members, the last time we were asked about the status of the fish stocks, and the report is available and it will be distributed to yourselves. We have brought the copies. Number seven, manage the utilization of marine resources by setting the total allowable catches and allowable effort in those 22 fishing sectors. Conduct research, compile reports on the status of the fish stock levels. Number nine, ensure compliance and enforcement efforts in those four prioritized sectors. It is not necessarily that these are the only ones that are at risk, but we are prioritizing within the limitations of the resources. I will proceed to and skip the policy mandates and skip the situational analysis, and acting chair and the returning chair, I will proceed to slide number 27. I will do so, Chair. Perhaps I should, after the situational analysis, go to the risk management. That is slide number 22. Slide number 22. We indicate in basically the risks and how we will deal with them to enable us to carry out our core mandate in those fisheries ability, fisheries section, and meet our objectives, our predetermined objectives. Firstly, we will mitigate through the formulation of the plan to improve the efficiency of revenue collection, because we are reliant on the revenue that we collect, and investigate the potential additional sources of revenue, develop a business case to National Treasury for additional MTF allocation, which is what the members have been advising us, and improve on the planning and the target setting, and ensure that we work within our own budgets to move where there are an expenditure to where there is a bigger need, but also keep revising our plan. In terms of the inadequate ICT systems, information and communication technology systems, and the aging technology, this will be mitigated through the developing the appropriate policies during the infrastructure plan, developing an electronic data management system. On the supply chain management processes, we will mitigate those through training of the practitioner and developing an enterprise procurement plan. On the aspect of insufficient human resources and appropriate skills in key positions, this will be mitigated through the coordination with the corporate services and ensuring that the entity applies and implement and adopt the applicable policies in HR. With respect to insufficient budget and to cover personnel and operational requirements, we would do a business case motivation to Treasury and our mother department and increase our efforts to collect more revenue. I would want to share with your permission, proceed to slide number 27, or rather 26, just an indication of some stakeholders that we engage, and we have a number of them. The Chief Executive Officers Forum, and here we're meeting the captains of the industry. We are working with the scientific working groups. We are working with the fisheries management working groups, and these are a collaboration with the external partners in the industry and other departments, the universities. We have a number of agreements with the universities, particularly in the training and research. We are also participating in the regional fisheries management organizations that are managing the fish stocks in the high seas, and we have a few other entities ranging from those that are doing oversight to those that are partnering with us in implementation. Slide number 27, Chair, from that slide is the strategic objectives which have been presented, and perhaps with your permission, I would proceed rather than go through this into the more details later of all the annual targets. If that is allowed, I would proceed to the slide number 30. Our expenditure investments, despite the limited resources, we will devote the resources towards achieving objectives over the medium term using the following mechanisms. We will focus the spending on ensuring performance and compliance operations in those prioritized fisheries sectors. We will also ensure building partnerships with other governmental institutions, therefore synchronizing both the efforts and the resources strategically and avoid silos, duplication, and wasteful expenditure. Thirdly, we will focus our expenditure investments on job creation, both in the coastal communities and the rural communities, and therefore broadening the scope of the aquaculture sector as a catalyst towards sustainable growth and food security. On slide number 31, the major expenditure elements that are under the direct control of the fund that are expected to increase over the MTF will be the expenditure on the vessel operational costs and also on the working for fisheries projects. And for that reason, it is important that the entity would improve on the collection of revenue, and of course we are expecting that the transfers equally would increase to make up for that. On slide number 32, there is an indication of the revenue that we expect, and the own revenue that we will raise from the levies and all other collections that we make. And the next one is on the transfers that will be coming from both DAF and Treasury, making the total of 414 in the coming financial year, or the financial year in question, 15-16, 430 in 16-17, and 450 in 17-18. On slide number 33, this is how the budget is allocated in the sub-programs that are within the entity administration. resource management, aquaculture, economic development, marine resource management, monitoring, control, and surveillance. I must just apologize on the disclaimer that is not supposed to be there. Some of us are using English as a third language. But what is exactly meant was that these figures are the figures that were submitted at the time of E&E, but they are being revised considering the targets to accommodate particularly the right allocation program. My apologies. The first, let me just start again. The first one is administration, 124. The second one is marine resource management, 40 million. The third one is agriculture and economic development, 20 million. The third one, which is written marine resource management, is research and development, 111. My big apologies. And from slide number 34, that's where we indicate the annual targets. The first one is on aquaculture, strategic objective 2.1, ensure increased production and productivity in the prioritized areas as well as value chain. And in terms of the plan, we will implement the aquaculture and Operation Pagisa. And the baseline, we have provided support to 23 fish farms in 2013-14. The actual baseline will be 2014-15. We are currently supporting 10 farms, and we, from 15-16, within the Pagisa, we will do 5-4-5-4-4-4-3. And this is because the 23 projects that I referred to, we will be, as we implement them, the major issue will be resolving the problems that are constraining the performance of the agriculture. So it is more the institutional issues we'll resolve, and we believe as we resolve them, it is most likely that we will have more projects coming through. We have a list of projects, but we have considered the fact that we have a limited budget. If we are able to unlock the budget, we will move most of those projects forward. On slide number 35, it's still on aquaculture. We expect that the draft bill will be submitted to Parliament in the 15-16 financial year. We are at a stage where we are with the consultation, and we will, when the new financial year starts, we will take it forward, and we expect by the coming year, January 2016, it should be served before Parliament. On the page 36, on the research projects, 10 new research projects for aquaculture species. In the 2015-16, 2 new research projects on genetics and nutrition for aquaculture species, and we're seeing the new ones. There are projects that are ongoing, but the newer projects will be registered there. On slide number 37, and perhaps, Chairperson, just to say the list of the current research projects, we have that list, and if required, we will make it available. In terms of the working for fisheries, creating job opportunities, we indicating 535 FTEs in the 2015-16, and we would also be able to provide the areas where this project would be implemented. We're largely using the working working for fisheries to support aquaculture, to support the small scale fisheries, to support the small fishing harbors. That's where these jobs are being created. On slide number 38, the strategic objective 3.1, lead and coordinate government food security initiatives. The plan is to make sure that the fishing rights allocation process framework and small-scale fisheries policies are implemented. And I think in terms of what the Auditor General had raised, and we said we would reconcile perhaps the wording. But in 2015-16, we would both develop the policies and allocate the rights or implement those policies in the 15-16. Slide number 39, the rights allocation. Again, we will ensure that the rights are allocated to the small-scale fisheries cooperatives. That's part of the strategic objective 3.1. Strategic objective 4.1 on slide number 40. This has to do with the updating of the development and updating of the recovery plan in the depleted fish stocks. Now, there are four prioritized fish stocks, and the indication there is the three recovery plans, and we may still adjust that down considering the financial resources. We are busy discussing that. On slide number 41, the research to support that the plan is that there is a research report to indicate the fish stock levels is compiled. That report should be compiled, and as I said, we have a copy of the one published in 2014. Slide number 42, implementation of the integrated fishery security strategy, and we have indicated the number of operations, compliance, monitoring and surveillance, and the fisheries protection vessels in terms of the numbers. On slide 43, there's a figure that I believe Auditor General made a remark about. In terms of in the Annexa E, we are actually indicating what would be the elements that would be monitored, the various inspections that will be conducted that constitute that 4,548. And we may split it if we are required so, but we have explained within the Annexa E what constitutes that is the number of inspections that are being conducted, both on land, on sea, on the right holders, on the fish processing entities. Chair, that I would stop here and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manya. Members, that was the presentation on the fishery and fisheries. Any questions, clarification, or input? Honorable Young Blue.
I'm going to turn into a fish. Mr. Minister, while you're laughing, sir, can you tell me, do we have the money to implement the small-scale fisheries plan? You know, you said just now that there's no money for a lot of the things that's on paper here. Now, I don't see small-scale fisheries budget anywhere. So I would really like to know if we have the budget, if we have the money for it. Then the other thing I would like to know, and I've written to the Minister of Agriculture last week, asking him if he could extend the period of consultation for another 2 weeks. Now, I've been to some of these community consultation meetings, and the people really, really and truly do not understand the policy. They do not know what the implications of the implementation plan is. They don't understand the rollout of program, and they haven't had enough time to consider these things and to discuss it with their communities. Now, I've spoken to one of the deaf officials at one of these meetings, and he told me that the consultation started last Monday and went right from Port Nolloth all the way to KZN, and it ended in Cape Town on Monday morning. Now, I have really serious concerns about the level of consultation if you're rushing. You know, this is an important thing, and you are trying to increase the number of stakeholders in that specific fishery sector from 7,700 to 30,000 people. There's a lot of problems people don't understand. They've got problems with co-ops. Now, talking about co-ops, I would like to know whether you are only going to give rights to co-ops, and what about the voorschrifte of the act which says that the provisions, yes, that individuals and those kinds of things, don't you leave yourself open to legal action if you really insist on giving rights only to co-ops? Maybe you can tell me whether there is a chance of the consultation period being extended for. I've asked for it to be extended to at least April 15, but if it can be longer, it would be even better for those communities. But I also understand the need to get on with a process which started way back in 2008 and is running way behind its own targets for implementation. Then I would like to know whether you're talking here about the allocation of rights in 9 fishing sectors. I would like to know, are we talking about the, are you referring there to the fishing rights which the minister rolled over for a year now recently, and which ends in February next year? Then I would like to know, what I'm still confused, what is happening? There hasn't been settled. What about that court case? What is happening with PrEP 2013? And are you really able to continue with small scales and PrEP 2015 if you haven't solved or settled 2013? Then I'd like to know what the status of aquaculture in inland towns and dorpies are. Do you have, and what is happening there? And you talk here in your presentation about recovery plans for abalone and deepwater hake and west coast rock lobster. Maybe you can just expand a little bit and tell me what these recovery plans are. What is that all about? Thank you.
Honorable Youngblood, if you remember, we had this section came to present, and the same question were asked, they were answered, and there are resolutions of the committee. So I have a fear that your question might change our resolutions of the committee. So, Mr. Manya, you can respond to those that were not dealt with as you're going to respond. Not that member, I fear that we might change the resolutions of the committee, because if you remember all those issues that we have raised, that you have we've raised them, they've answered, and we've taken decision on them as a committee. So if they respond again, it will affect our own decision. So only those that have not been discussed in the previous meeting, Mr. Manya, you can respond to. Honorable Kelsan.
Page 12, where you indicate that you indicated verbally, it's not necessarily stated there, that you will rely on the Department of Small Businesses for business plans and the like. Now, when those business plans are drawn, will they be drawn jointly with your section? Or will they just give you a pre-done business plan and for you to implement? And then on page 20, you remark at the bottom there that there is a problem regarding accessing markets. How will you overcome that barrier? And on page 34, what are the institutional problems that you allude to in that page, in your verbal presentation? Because institutional problems can have a crippling effect when it comes to the implementation of any program. And that's why I would like to know what are they and how do you propose overcoming them. Thank you,
sir. Mr. Manya, you can respond to the question.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps with your guidance on the questions that Honorable Youngblood asked there, the budget for small-scale fisheries, limited as it is under marine resource management. The status of the aquaculture, and perhaps I should try and explain this to minimize the potential confusion. There are two things that we're doing inland. One, we are currently developing the policies on inland fisheries, and that would use the large water bodies, the large dams that are available. We're developing the policy. At the moment, that is being regulated both by Water Affairs, who is responsible for water, environment, who deals with the biodiversity issues. Secondly, the aquaculture has two elements, the marine aquaculture and the inland aquaculture, and we are implementing and developing the inland aquaculture program as well as marine. In terms of the recovery plans, we continually monitor the status of various species. And we have plans for each one of them, but when they come to a certain level, we have to put up a plan to make sure that species is put in under conditions where it will be given an opportunity to recover without being overfished. And it is those plans that we continually monitor, we continually update, and any other species that comes under radar, we have to develop that plan. Honorable Sultano, perhaps I could have not explained myself well on page 12, slide 12. The Department of Small Business Enterprises provide the training. They also provide other support. And I was referring to them in the context of the training that we will do the technical training of a cooperative. They will provide the business management aspect. Business management, enabling them, for instance, to be able to read a business plan. That's what they would be able resources, financial statements, for them to be able to read financial statements, we are going to rely on them to take care of that. Of course, to the extent that they are organized and ready to be able to do that. If there's still a gap, we would have to close that gap, because we must be ready by the beginning of the 2016 to work with the cooperatives that are organized. The issues around the market access and the DAF, when DAF was presenting, there is a clear indication on how the branch economic development, trade and marketing, which is, I think, a strategic objective 2.2 or 2.3 that deals with marketing. They are taking comprehensively all the three components of DAF to create linkages with the market. In terms of institutional arrangements, we recognize the fact that we are not the only players dealing with the various fishing communities and the industry, and we recognize the need to collaborate with other departments and other agencies in implementing. And we collaborate with the universities on research. We are collaborating with all other law enforcement agencies on marine protection services and even other departments. We do the same in marine resource management, and that's why we've mentioned other departments that will come in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members and Departments. Till now, I will now allow you, there are three outside, just grab the tree, 5 minutes tree collection. I'm told it's cold. So let's then proceed. Can we have a fresh leg, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then we'll proceed with NAMAC.